His Grace Krishna Kshetra Prabhu is ill, so hopefully he will speak tomorrow. I was supposed to speak tomorrow, he was supposed to speak today, so we swap over. Hopefully he will be well tomorrow. I'm also a little, my throat is sore, but please bear with me. I hope you can, with the help of a microphone, you can hear well. If not, please let me know and I'll repeat, okay? And Yamashami Prabhu will help me with the reading, so it goes better. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishwaram. Today this verse applies better than ever. The person who is not able to speak, by the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master, may be able to say something. It has two meanings, many meanings. So, we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and this is part of the Bhakti Vaibhava course. Last session, last week, we discussed chapter 4 of this canto, and today we are starting the first section of chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. We will sing the verse on the board later. We will do some discussion on the previous section, and then we will sing the verse on the board and read the purport. Let's recap. What is the fourth chapter about? What did we discuss last week? Who was here? Who could remember? Or some of you may know by having studied the Bhagavatam, so you were not in the class, but you know what's about. I know in the age of Kali, the memory is not so good. So. That's chapter 3. That's close. So the first three chapters dealt with the six questions posed before Sutta Goswami by Shaunaka Rishi on behalf of the sages of Naimisharanya. And then chapters 2 and chapter 3, the answers to the six questions were given. Very profound answers, and this established a foundation for the whole Bhagavatam, actually. We find what Srila Jiva Goswami calls the Emperor Verse, Paribhasha Sutra, Ete Chamsa, Kalak Pumsa, Krishna Stupa, Gavan Svayam. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many incarnations, but among all of them, Sri Krishna is the source, the origin of all incarnations. Avatari, he is the source of all avatars. And then what happens in chapter 4? There are some more questions asked by Shaunaka Rishi. What are the questions about? Very good, yes. So it's about the author and about the Bhagavatam, because at the end of chapter 3, it was mentioned that the Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, who has appeared in the age of Kali to rescue, to illuminate the people of Kali. So then the next question is, how did the Bhagavatam was written, if the Bhagavatam is Krishna? And the author, how did Vyasa do it? Why did he do it? He had composed so many books. What was the need for another piece of literature? So about the author, Charila Vyasadev, what else? About whom else is he asking? Narada Muni, he doesn't ask directly about Narada Muni, but Narada Muni will appear in relation to Vyasa's dissatisfaction in his service, and he will enlighten his disciple so that he writes the Bhagavatam. But he asks about two more personalities very important in the Bhagavatam. Very good. About the listener of the Bhagavatam who was instrumental for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. If Maharaj Parikshit had not been cursed, historically, how the Bhagavatam would have been spoken. So Maharaj Parikshit was a crucial person who asked a most important question. What is the duty of the human being, and especially the human being who is about to die? So he asked about Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, yes. Shukadeva Goswami, about the original speaker of the Bhagavatam, Sri Shukadeva Goswami. He was a self-realized soul. How it was that he spoke the Bhagavatam? And he was very curious because he was a Paramahamsa, and suddenly he decided to study and to speak the Bhagavatam. So basically the questions are asked in, and this will establish a foundation for the rest of the first canto. That's the introduction. The first canto is an introductory book to the whole Bhagavatam. So it's the author of the book and how it was written, the original speaker of the message of the Bhagavatam, and the original listener, Maharaj Parikshit. Yes, that could be said, but Srila Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha explains, refers to Shukadeva Goswami as the original speaker, because even during that time, Vyasa Narada Muni, his guru and param guru, were present, but still, he spoke the Bhagavatam. They agreed he should speak the Bhagavatam. So Shukadeva Goswami was especially empowered to speak the Bhagavatam. And there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita quoted by Kaviraj Goswami. It's a classical, traditional verse which says, Aham Vetmi, it's spoken by Lord Shiva. Aham Vetmi, Shukko Vetti, Vyaso Vetti, Navettiva. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam, Nabuddhya Nachatikaya. The meaning is, Lord Shiva is saying, I know the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami knows the Bhagavatam, Vyasa may know or may not know the Bhagavatam. As far as I am concerned, the Bhagavatam can be understood only by bhakti, by pure devotional service, and not by commenting, by different tikkas, by commentaries. And His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj used to tell a traditional story connected to that. It will be too long to repeat it. We spoke about it during the first or second chapter, or maybe third chapter. But basically, what happened, it's a story which traditionally is spoken in Orissa, that happened in a place known as Ekam Ravan, where Lord Shiva spoke the Bhagavatam. And then Shukadeva Goswami took shelter. He was in the form of a parrot, and he took shelter in the womb of Srila Vyasadeva's wife. And then, he was born. But the idea is that Shukadeva Goswami, he's the topmost Paramahamsa, and therefore he is given the position of the original speaker of the Bhagavatam, according to Jiva Goswami. And even Prabhupada, in some commentaries, he refers to him as the original speaker. Of course, we could say also, ultimately, Krishna is the original speaker, or Vishnu. In the Chatu Shloki, they spoke to Brahma in four verses. But in our context, Shukadeva Goswami is the original speaker, and Vyasa is the author. Okay, so let's move. Before we move on to chapter 5, I would like to draw your attention to some section we were not able to explore. And last week we discussed how after the questions are asked, Sutta Goswami starts speaking about how Srila Vyasadev compiled all the Vedic literatures. He divided the one Veda into four, and then he entrusted the different Vedas to his disciples. He wrote the fifth Veda, the Mahabharata, and the Puranas. And then from all the disciples, he had entrusted the Vedas and also the Puranas. The different branches of the Vedas came into existence. And when discussing in text 26 of chapter 4, when discussing about writing the Mahabharata, he mentions a term. We had to stop there because of time. It's actually text 25. Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam Trayina Shruti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Muddhanam Shreya Evam Bhavetiha Iti Bharata Makyanam Kripaya Munina Kritam. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus, he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. So I like to draw your attention to the Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam, because this could be one of those verses which in the modern context could be one of those verses when you go to a university, you may be careful how to present it. So I would like to ask you to get your thoughts, and I may share mine. What issue or issues does this suggest to you? And how this is applied in a modern context? Stri Shudra Dvijabandhu. Women, laborers, and the friend of the twice born. Okay, so it may sound for modern people as discriminatory to women, for example. That's what you're saying? Okay, what else? The fifth Veda is opening. Very good point. The fifth Veda, the Mahabharata and the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Prabhupada explains, includes the Bhagavad Gita, and it's open to everyone. It's part of the Mahabharata, so it's for everyone. No discrimination. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the Vedantic texts. Other texts, such as the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, only Brahmanas will be able to touch them. But no, the Bhagavad Gita is for everyone. Very good point. So that's another perspective. We could use it as discriminatory towards women, or we could say actually in Kali Yuga, Stri Shudra Dvijabandhu, there is not don't make an issue out of it, because we are part of the same stock. Meaning, if we want, we don't need to go to, let's discuss what's relevant to us. We are all together. Women, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, those verses are quoted sometimes. In the age of Kali, everyone is born as Shudra. And even those who are born in families of Dvijas, Srila Prabhupada in the purport discusses not just Brahmanas, but Dvijabandhu means the children of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, who generally they receive traditional Diksha. But actually, in the age of Kali, things need to be adapted because otherwise nobody can follow. For example, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes from the Varaha Purana how in the age of Kali, Asuras will take birth in the families, in the Brahmana families. Doesn't mean that every Brahmana family is giving birth to Asuras, but everything is mixed up. So it could be the fact that somebody is born in a Brahmana family does not guarantee the qualification of that person as a Brahmana. What to speak of Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. And therefore, what is given is the process of Pancharatrik. Pancharatrik is a reformatory process by which everyone in the age of Kali can become elevated to the position of Vaishnava, which is even higher than Brahmana. Because the purpose of the initiation ultimately is to bring the person gradually to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's the ultimate purpose of initiation. Okay, good. So this we got some picture. Of course, we could develop a whole discussion on that, but there are more points we want to explore. Then the last part of the chapter deals with Srila Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction and Sri Narada Muni's appearance, even when Vyasa had written the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita, but still he was dissatisfied. There was something. Comparatively speaking, looking at what he had written and how much he had written directly about Krishna, he was not happy. And he started to identify, he was introspecting, he started to identify the cause of his dissatisfaction, that he didn't speak directly about pure devotional service to Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then at that very moment, the Lord, in order to confirm that, sent Sri Narada Muni. And that was the end of chapter 4. Now in chapter 5, Narada Muni hints, asks Vyasa about his dissatisfaction and gives a hint about why, what may be the reason why he's dissatisfied. And then Srila Vyasadeva asks him, please tell me why I'm feeling like that, why I'm so dissatisfied. And then Narada gives the answer that this is because you have not spoken directly about Krishna, about the pastimes of the Lord. And this is the verse actually we have in on the board. There are two verses, the previous one to that, text number 10 and text 11, give the metaphor of different types of birds. There are different types of birds. Remember? The crows and the swans. And those who feel attracted to mundane topics are compared to crows. Those who are attracted to transcendental topics are compared to swans. And this was the beginning of the answer of Narada Muni, a very strong answer. And also Srila Prabhupada's purpose, we will read one of the purpose and some sections of the other, are very, very strong also. So this is a summary of this first section of the chapter. So now I'll ask Yamasami Prabhu, can you please read the translations from 1 to 10 and then sing verse 11 and then read translation on purpose. We won't do the word by word for the sake of using time.
Text 1. Sutta Goswami said, thus the sage amongst the gods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the rishis amongst the brahmanas and Vedavyas. Addressing Vyasadeva, the son of Parashara, Narada inquired, "Are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled, and there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu?" Sri Vyasadeva said, "All you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction, for you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born, without mundane father and mother." Text number 6. "My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you, because your Lordship, you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds. And like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive Supersoul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows." Text 8. Sri Narada said, "You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there." Responsive chanting of Tadvak Visargo Janataga Viplavo. Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadavatyapi. Namanyanantasya Yashankitaniyat. Shrinvanti Gayanti Ginanti Sadhava. Vakvisargo janatara vidyo asmin pratishlokam abhadavatyapi
yasmin pratishlokam abhadavatyapi namanyam tattasya ishankitani yat
namanyam tattasya ishankitani yat
shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava
shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava.
Yasmin pratishlokam abhadavatyapi
namanyanantasya yashankitaniya
shrinvanti gayanti grinanti.
Matajis, please.
Yasmin pratishlokam abhadavatyapi
translation. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a pot of stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place, without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously they were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they have lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple. And there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance for quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible world, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially in a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to help from the neighbors, to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners. And yet, without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. Last paragraph. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general, all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption and all description with corruption of all this description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature. Yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct, but because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy, but we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter.
Thank you. So basically the topic of this section is the dissatisfaction of Srila Vyasadev due to not having explained sufficiently pure devotional service to the Lord. And Sri Narada Muni's answer confirming that in a very strong way. Something that called my attention while reading the purports last night. In purport to text number 8, Prabhupada writes that if the author of the Vedas was troubled, he was feeling dissatisfied, then what to speak about the readers? So the author was in difficulty, the readers will be much more disturbed, they will follow the author. So, and now one natural question that comes to mind, sometimes we read, like for example, Srila Prabhupada uses many times, speaks about the Vedas, referring to that we follow the Vedas, we follow the books of knowledge, the sacred books of knowledge revealed from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedas are apaurusheya, they come from God. But then we find other sections, like this one, in which the Vedas are mentioned as actually detrimental. So how is that? What, any thoughts on that? Like we find the two statements. Kanchanavali Mataji?
Okay, so it is not simple to understand. So generally the statement that the Vedas are good, this is for the general public to attract them to the authorized scriptures, and then they should become educated to understand how to use the Vedas according to their own situation. Okay, good. Daneshwar Prabhu? Good, thank you. Yeah, so Bhagavad Gita and Pancharatriki literature is for the age of Kali, and it's part of the Vedas. They are considered the fifth Veda. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Tattva Sandarbha that Vedas and Upanishads remain incomplete in the age of Kali without the Puranas. Purana means ancient literature, but also another meaning explained by Jiva Goswami is that which makes the Vedas complete, Purna. Purana, the Puranas make the Vedas Purna, complete. Because we cannot understand the essence of the Vedas without studying the historical examples that show how to apply the teachings of the Vedas properly. People cannot understand the technical all the technical aspects of the Vedic mantras and the teachings of the Upanishads. What do we find in the Vedas? If we say in general, not talking from a general point of view, what do we find in the Vedas? Like some crucial concepts we find in the Vedas which have been mentioned here. Okay, Karma Kanda, that's one of the sections of the Vedas. Elevation, material elevation through religion, we attain prosperity and sense, authorized sense enjoyment. Different yagyas, sacrifices for obtaining different desires. How to read, get rid from bad reactions, from karma. Yes, we to become free from papa, from sin. Good. Then Jnana Kanda, this will be another section. So there is Karma Kanda. If we will make a building with different stories, so will be like in the lower part will be the Karma Kanda section, then Jnana Kanda will be above, and in Jnana Kanda the person searches for the absolute truth and generally becomes attracted to the impersonal descriptions about God, about the absolute. And then what other kanda is there? Upasana kanda, sometimes referred to by Srila Prabhupada as bhakti kanda. The different methods of worship or the different practices of devotion. To generally, the ultimately meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but sometimes for people who are not so advanced, also worshipping the demigods. Like for example in the traditional Vedas there is the Garbha Stuti or the Purusha Sukta prayers where the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Lord, is described as having thousands of heads, thousands of arms, etc. And the demigods are described as parts of the body of that Mahapurusha. But ultimately the worship is meant, Yajna Vishnu, is meant to the Supreme Lord. So we find all the different methods of worship in the Vedas. And actually the Bhakti Kanda will be the last floor, the best floor, like right on top of. So generally they are more expensive, no? The tops, the floors up, isn't it? And so, because you can see more, you can... So, okay, what else in relation to the purposes of human life? What do we find in the Vedas? And how these relate to Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda? Moksha is one of them. Moksha relates to... Moksha is liberation, but it relates to Jnana Kanda. Relates to Jnana Kanda. What about the others? Because Srila Vyasadeva, actually, when Narada Muni is kind of chastising his disciple, his learned disciple, is telling him, you have written about the Vedas. If we go to text number 9, yata dharmadayas charta munivadya nukirtitaha natata vasudevasya mahima yanuvarnitaha. Although great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances. Which are those? Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Religiosity, material prosperity or economic development, sense enjoyment, and ultimate liberation. But actually the Srimad Bhagavatam goes even beyond liberation. Srila Vyasadeva has written a lot about Dharma, Artha, Kama, Karma Kanda, some about Jnana Kanda, about Moksha, and very little about pure bhakti, pure devotional service. And therefore he is dissatisfied. There is no balance. And actually Narada Muni, he is very strong, saying, you have been wasting time. Basically he's telling him, you have been wasting your time and wasting the time of the people who will read you. In one way, he's speaking like that, because these two verses where he compares the different types of literature, the readers of different types of literatures, to crows and swans, he's very black and white, isn't it? Very, very black and white. Yeah. And who is familiar with the life of the crows? I mean, meaning, who has seen crows in action? Like here, we don't. Here there are some. I have seen some. Sometimes they are around, but here you don't see it so clearly. What is the best place? I mean, I have one place in mind where you can experience the life of the crows very clearly. The garbage places, yes. And any city in particular? Calcutta, yes. In Calcutta, nowadays, it's like that. Last time I was in Calcutta with Jai Krishna Prabhu, we stayed in the Bhaktivedanta Research Center Harisauri Prabhu is leading. We stayed one or two nights, and in the morning we went to a park nearby to chant our rounds. And then you could see at that time, early morning, the crows in action. All the garbage was all over the place, in the place, but the most intense, and actually we had a philosophical discussion on text number 10 based on the experiential learning, the experience we had by seeing a crow eating, and sorry to mention that here, a dead rat in the middle of... Was there the dead rat in the middle of the street? And the crow was having a feast. He was really having a good time. So This is the comparison given, like mundane literature is compared to the taste of the crows. I mean, the people who like that literature is compared to the taste of the crows. Why? Why is such an example is given? It seems too radical. I mean, someone could say it's... Good. Yes, human life is meant to learn how to love God. That's the purpose of human life, to awaken love of Godhead. If we don't read books which will help us to develop love of Godhead, then we are eating that garbage in different shapes, different forms. So therefore emphasis is given to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the swans, the comparison is given that the Srimad Bhagavatam is literature, the descriptions of the glories of the Lord is literature meant for the swan-like people, people who are searching for the pure nectar. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to the verse we listen to, text 11, what mood did you notice anything in relation to Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission in that purport? Text 11, which Jamasami Prabhu read. Good. Very good point. Very, very important point. Win over the leaders, in order to what? Why do we want to win over the leaders? People will follow. They will influence the people to follow. They will make, like Prabhupada talks about, systematic propaganda to propagate the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, if the leaders are on board, they will make the systematic propaganda, and many people will be able to be educated. Okay, time is over. So there is more to discuss, but we want to stick to the time. Tomorrow we will continue. Hopefully His Grace Krishna Kshetra Prabhu will be ready for tomorrow. And this evening we have at 6, from 6 to 7, we have a little workshop. Normally the group who is coming is small, so we will do it in my office. But if many of you come, then you can come. Don't think, oh, it's in the office, I will not fit. Then if many of you come, we will go somewhere else and find a bigger place. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.